from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Eric Hasseltine is the play-by-play voice for the Memphis Grizzlies radio network. He joins the show now. Eric, how's it going, man? You've had an interesting day from what I understand.
Yeah, I hope no one uses my garage door to commit a crime because I think I just bled all over it.
I hear you. Was it easy to put back together, though?
How do you literally... Well, you played football. I'm sure there were times you walked off the field bleeding and didn't realize it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I just got done, the steel cable wire that draws the garage door up had somehow like gotten loose on the spool, so it was all wrapped up, so it made this horrific sound, came off the track. I got that back on track, and I looked up and saw that, so I'm like, all right, I'll just push this back up, and apparently it grated across my knuckle and on three different spots, and so my son is out there helping me, and I'm like, dude, move that out of the way so you don't get hit. Because the door was fixed, and he goes, look at your hand. And it's just blood everywhere. Like,
you got it wrapped up, hopefully, right?
I got a paper towel on it. I had a handshake with Freddy Krueger, apparently. That looks good.
I got you.
Note to self, not a guy to do a high five with.
Yeah, well, it's fixed. That's the good news. That's the good news. Yeah. Now, also,
garage door's fixed. No monsoon coming in the garage.
Also, I have to bring this up as well. You're an Oakland A's fan, from what I understand. Right, or a Sacramento A's.
A diehard Oakland A's.
Now they are. I think they're about the pluckiest 20-30 team in the major leagues right now. Right.
Well,
what do you think?
I appreciate that. We were 16-16 at one point. After they lost game one, I said, "Well, we won't see 500 this year." And then they did that, and I was like, "Okay, maybe there's some hope." And then they lost. You know, they're 4-14 in their last 18.
Yeah, that's not great. Now, I know one thing you're not looking forward to, because Mason Miller's been ridiculous. Last night he finished the game he struck out the side and finished with an 103-mile-an-hour fastball. You looking forward to, what is it, a month and a half, he's going to be probably traded away for other assets, I guess, if you will, for pieces?
Well, how many more assets or pieces do you need? Like, I mean, what's Brent Rooker's having, the local kids having a good year? I mean, I wouldn't say phenomenal, but good year with the bat. And you've got all these draft picks that you've had, and you keep, all right, Tyler Soderstrom, whose father pitched for the Giants, his uncle was a good friend of mine who was a very good baseball player as well. What, are we going to just ship Tyler Soderstrom for more assets?
I agree, but do you think they'll actually hold on to him? Mason Miller?
Here's an idea. Let's trade the asset of the owner who owns the Gap.
I'm so
ship
with that.
Him and Banana Republic. Let's ship him to, I don't know, Brooks Brothers, and find some guys that actually want to own a team and put some money into it.
When was the last time you shopped at Banana Republic, too? Like, that's another thing. I don't even know if there's a Banana Republic still in Memphis.
Not that I know of. Honestly, like the early 2000s, that was kind of the way to go for the business casual type stuff. And then, you get older and you don't shop at those places as much. But it was good stuff when I was there. Gap, Old Navy, for casual stuff. But yeah, I don't. They're not hurting for funds though. At least they weren't until maybe after COVID, and they still have websites and warehouses, so it's not like you can convince me that this guy who's a multi-billionaire all of a sudden can't afford to pay for a baseball team, because it's just not the case, and it's not a small market. I'm tired of people saying, oh, they're a small market team. No, they're not. They're 5 miles from the Bay Bridge to San Francisco.
Right.
The East Bay area and the encompassing area all part of the San Francisco Bay Area, is one of the biggest parts of our country. And the A's, where they're located, draw off one of the most affluent suburb areas of the Bay Area,
right.
The East Bay Area. You have places like Walnut Creek, Danville, Alamo, for those not familiar with the names. And for the longest time, there was a community out there called Blackhawk, and still is, where like literally half of the professional athletes lived and drove in from Oakland, that is, not from San Francisco, because it's a 30-minute drive, and it's beautiful out there, and it's where I grew up. And so it's not a lack of funds. It's not a lack of money. Obviously, the economy in California is changing. It's a lack of desire from the owner
yep.
to do anything. I mean, I wasn't a big Moneyball guy after it happened, because I thought it was based on college bats being ridiculously juiced and reflective, and guys were super strong, and then they have a bat where the ball jumps off of it, so they deaden the bats, and now the money ball stuff goes away, because you're not looking for on-base percentage. You hit 20 home runs with these bats now, and the way some of these guys are, they're strong. They're great hitters. Back then, the ninth hitter was hitting 20 home runs, so... But back then, they had already gone into it in the early 2000s. They didn't need to. They were drawing fans. They had, you know, they had people going to their games. They had a great young team, and he just sunk no money into it. Just
yep.
didn't care.
Yep.
Just not going to sink any money into it.
Now, let me ask you this, because I'm a aggrieved St. Louis Rams fan. Did not follow them to L.A. Not a big yep. fan of how that all ended up. When they ultimately make their venture to Las Vegas, however the hell that looks, because they're going to be in Sacramento for a few years, are you going to still be a fan? Or are you just going to?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
No, I will be.
You're better than I. I couldn't do it.
Well, and it's different than what it was for me with the Raiders. The Raiders, I was younger. I was a kid. I was at the last game in 1982, I think, or 81. I think it was 81. Where Kellen Winslow caught like 9 passes for 290 yards and 5 touchdowns. And just, it was the worst way to go out, because that was your big rival, were the Chargers. And they moved to L.A. simply because Al Davis wanted to be in L.A. and went down there. And then my favorite player, I still followed him in L.A., was Marcus Allen. And then Al Davis wanted Marcus Allen to not be getting the headlines he was. He wanted the attention. So he kind of did Marcus Allen dirty. I loved seeing Bo Jackson. When they came back, my father was contacted by the Raiders while he lived and said, hey, we'll give you your seats back. We're going to redo the arena, the stadium, but you can have your seats again. Oh, by the way, it's only going to be $5,000 PSL per seat. And my dad said, hey, guess what? The NFL Sunday ticket's $225.
Right.
I think I'll stay home. Keep your 10 grand later. And they had a problem filling up the seats. Now, for me, I became a Packers fan because the Raiders moved, and we didn't want to jump on the Niners bandwagon. But it's also hard for me not to kind of pull for them, because when I moved here, I was covering the Raiders, and they were very good to me to help me get some experience and, you know, kind of talk to some of their players and learn how to be in a professional locker room, knowing where my career was going. But for the A's, it's just different now. I mean, I get it. The stadium's old. It's decrepit. It's outdated. I tell friends when they're going there, prepare to be underwhelmed. If you feel a breeze across your feet running quickly, it's not the wind. It's probably a rat. I kid about that, but I don't. But, you know, I went in there a few years ago, and it's like, these are the same concession stands that were here when I was in high school.
Yep.
I'm 51. That's
yep.
a long time, and nothing's ever updated. And it's hard on the players. You know, you have a dream of making the major leagues. You've done all your time in the minors. And you get there, and like in the movie, you're paying for sodas.
Yep.
And I covered the A's for a little bit, and just seeing the difference in the teams and their mentalities. And A's players, they were never mean, but they were just kind of like, get me out of here
right.
unless we're winning. And eventually, when you trade all the winning players away, the players
That's the thing.
I forget this. Yeah, if you're not committed to winning, why are we here?
That's the problem I had with the Rams when they left. It was just Stan Kroenke and Les Snead and all those guys. It was strictly, let's tank because we want to get to L.A. Let's literally bottom out, mm-hmm. not give the fans in St. Louis what they want. Don't give them a winning product. Let's be as bad as humanly possible so then we could blame the fans for not showing up. And it feels like that's exactly, almost, you know, bar for bar, word for word, what's happening with the A's. Let's bottom out completely. Let's not even try for this particular fan base. Once we get to where we're going, sure, we'll try. You know, like for the Rams, it was trade for Matt Stafford, go win a championship, pay everybody, get rid of all your draft picks. Don't even worry about those because we want to get players ready to win now and go win a Super Bowl. Like, that's the frustrating reality of both those situations, is the fans that really supported them in that last spot get absolutely killed because those particular owners want to get out of town as fast as possible.
Well, the NHL did it brilliantly in Vegas, and the NBA, when they eventually go there, which I believe they will, is going to have a problem on its hands, because I do think when the A's go to Vegas, that there's no choice. If you're not exciting or entertaining right from the get-go and build a fan base, you are going to have a real hard time, because there's a lot of ways to spend your time in the Las Vegas area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not counting on the people there going to spend time at the resorts and the casinos and playing golf and all that stuff. You're trying to build with the locals, but the locals have all those options too. And so if you're not good, you're going to really find yourself in a pickle. So the NBA, if they do an expansion draft, better kind of rig it up the way the NHL did. For the A's, if they go in there and they get this deal done and they figure out all these logistics, if they don't go in there and hit the ground running and make some splashes, now, I'm pretty sure players will go, hey, I could deal with being in Vegas, even though it's summertime and it's blazing hot. They've got to have a stadium where that's not going to come into play. They've got to have a time where, okay, winter ball, you know, we can stay here in the winter, we'll like it. I think the city would support it, but if they do go to Sacramento at first, the problem there, not a lot of people realize, is Sacramento's always, from the time I lived there, before I lived there, it's been a Giants town, because it's a straight shot in on Highway 80, and it's just always easier to get to Giants games for fans from Sacramento.
Yep.
And so the A's found it hard to get traction there. They were more of a south towards San Jose, east towards where I grew up, fan base. And so if they get out there, I think fans in Sacramento will go. The good thing is the fans that will support them will take trips down to Vegas because, A, it's Vegas, and, B, it's their team. But if they're not good, man, oh, man, they're going to have a big problem on their hands.
Yep. Talking with play-by-play voice for the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network, Eric Hasseltine. Now, going to the NBA, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, it was drunk by the end, wasn't it? My gosh. The last, I think, 10.5 minutes where it was painstaking. It was hard to watch. I mean, both those teams, the amount of mistakes were absolutely insane. And it felt like the Pacers were going to be able to control it, but then they turned the ball over twice in the last 30 seconds, including the inbound, where you just can't have a turnover. And it's like Rick Carlisle blamed himself. Because it's like, take a timeout in that situation, find a way to get the damn ball in, and you win the game. But the Celtics end up tying it up with a Jaylen Brown three, his first of the game. Mm-hmm. That game was absolutely drunk.
Yeah, there were multiple mistakes, obviously. One, you've got to come down, and I know they're a fast-paced offense. I know they get up and down the floor. I know they don't pride themselves on half court, and that's been the question when they get in the playoffs. When you need a half court set, what are the Pacers going to do? And you saw the last two sets, and it didn't look good. They didn't get great shots. They moved the ball. When they get a rebound and get the ball quickly up the floor, Nembhard in the mid-range made a couple of good shots. I was sitting there just waiting for the Celtics. Okay. They're going to flip a switch. They're going to go on like a 12-0 run. They're going to put the Pacers down, and the Pacers won't have a chance to come back. Great, valiant effort. Game one proved you could be there. Now you got the ball, and you're up, and you're like, oh, boy, okay, the foul on the three-point shot. You have a two-possession lead. You have to, even before you go to that sideline, call that timeout, advance the basketball, come up with someone breaking towards the basket, away from the basket, towards the other sideline, and someone in the middle. You've got to have four options. They didn't. They turn it over. And then either someone didn't say something or what, but whoever had Jaylen Brown, you cannot let – I think it was McConnell was chasing him, and he just ran into a wall of Al Horford.
Yep.
Either A, McConnell's teammates don't like him very much and didn't say anything and said, watch this. I used to always joke about that when – someone would run into Steven Adams, I'd say, whatever player. I'm like, why don't his teammates like him? Because no one told him Adams was there, and that's like running into a tank. But okay, I guess that's their locker room. But someone's got to let him know. And if you see that screen being set, you've got to call switch, in my opinion. you've got to be the one to chase Brown if you're guarding Horford. Get on his outside. Try to take the angle. At least you'll get there quicker than the guy running through Horford. And I just thought it was a miscommunication or a bad strategy of how to play through that side screen. Brown got it. I was like, I would have just done everything I could to get my hands on him, tackle him, do whatever, to not when he got once he caught the ball, but they weren't close enough. And credit Boston for running a really good play, because Joe Mazzulla did call the timeout and did get everything ready to rock and roll. Yeah. I just thought the Halliburton three was bad. And you know, look, Drew Holiday was brought in for a reason. You saw that possession. I mean, Halliburton looked like he was in a straitjacket, and it was all Drew Holiday just saying, all right, this guy's not going to beat me. He's not going to be the one that does it to me right now. So you hate to say that's Indiana's only chance, because they obviously proved they can put Boston in some tough spots, but I think maybe that's the one scare that Boston seems to get every series. They had one with Miami. They had one in the last series as well with Cleveland, and then they came back and they said, okay, hold our beer. Here we go.
Yeah, now, here's the interesting thing. Like, what do you think of Jason Tatum ultimately? Because I thought last night, looking at, like, the reaction on online, you see probably the most complained about 36-point, 12-rebound, 4-assist, 3-steal performance. And he was plus 22, team-high plus 20. Like, that's the most complained about, right, you know, stat, you know, player for a stat line that looks like that. But then I sort of get down to it, and it just feels like there's something amiss with him in the playoffs at times. I don't think last night's the great example. But at the same time, he had to have 10 points in overtime, which is the high for any player since 2021 in an overtime period in the playoffs. But it just doesn't hit as hard when you need that to get past, you know, Aaron Nesmith, T.J. McConnell, and Andrew Nimhard. And I get why people have their complaints and think there's something a little bit amiss about this Celtics team and Jason Tatum.
It cracks me up a little bit, because if you ask any of the 30 NBA general managers, well, 29 because the Celtics have them,
right,
would you like to have Jason Tatum as one of your top one or two pieces? Yes, please. What do I need to do to make that happen?
Right.
Boston got him with that draft where they had the one pick. They were going to take him. Philly balked at their, you know, decision that they threw all those picks at him to get Markelle Fultz. Well, obviously Boston came out ahead. I've watched the young man grow up. He's still very young. He hasn't had that signature moment in the playoffs that pushes guys up. Like, we are here celebrating Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards in these playoffs. Jalen Brunson's arrived as a superstar. Anthony Edwards, for goodness sakes, getting compared to Michael Jordan.
Right.
And you're like, dude, you got to get to the conference finals. Well, now he is.
Yep.
And they did it despite the fact in Game 7 he didn't have his best game. But his mentality, the things he's saying, I don't know if it's just Jason Tatum's laid-back way about him. I don't know if it's that he has monster games and then games where you think he should cook for 50. He doesn't show that. I don't know what it is, because when I watch the guy play, and maybe it's because the Grizzlies haven't beaten the Celtics, I think, since before my son was born, and he's now 12. I don't see that. And when I watch him, I see a guy that's at a different level. I see Jaylen Brown as a guy who, when he came out of Cal, I was like, that dude's the number three pick. Cal basketball isn't very good. And when I watched him, this guy didn't like stand out to me where I went, okay, 100% lottery pick. And playing alongside Tatum, to me, credit a lot obviously goes to Jaylen Brown for his work ethic, but it elevated Jaylen Brown's game. So are you making guys around you better? Yes. Could he be a little better defensively? Sure. Could he have a little bit more dog in him, as some people say?
Yeah.
Sure. I'll take that guy on my squad any day of the week, man. Boston is certainly not going to let him go. But the criticism comes in because we judge superstars on big moments and what they do. And when you're not putting up 30, you know, when you're not putting up 35 in regulation and blowing out a team that you should blow out in people's eyes, then it falls on your shoulders. And that's unfortunate. But Boston,
right,
let's be honest, disappointing end last year. Should have, a lot of people just thought, should have steamrolled Miami, should have been back in the finals. But he's taken them to an NBA finals. They lost to a very good Warriors team. I mean, it's not like he hasn't elevated them to a certain height. He hasn't won a title, which is, you know, in Boston, the end-all, be-all of judgment for Celtics players. And it's taken a while to get there. And then when they got there, they didn't get the job done. So I think if at the end of this year, they hoist another banner, and I think that's a very good possibility. I think a lot of that dies down. But there's, it's crazy to me. You know this from playing collegiate sports. We are such prisoners of everybody else behind us was better. We can't accept greatness in the moment.
Right.
It's got to be like 2 or 3 years removed. Then there, because the pushback becomes, oh, these young guys on social media just want to anoint everybody the next greatest thing. But what about these guys? We can't just accept the greatness that's in front of us. He is a phenomenal basketball player. He's one of the top 10 players in the league every year. He's on Team USA. I don't see the huge discrepancy of why people think this guy can't get it done, because I think that he can. I think there are things he can improve upon in his game. Is he the greatest player of all time? No. Is he the greatest Celtic of all time? No. But he's going to have that number hanging in the rafters one day.
Yep, no doubt about it. Now, last thing for you, Eric. We have the Mavs-Timberwolves opening up tonight. I think a lot of people have crowned the Timberwolves very much. But the Mavericks have been really good in these playoffs. And to beat that young, hungry Thunder team in 6 games was nice. And I think they finally found the pieces to surround Kyrie and Luka with. Derek Jones Jr., great on the defensive end. Daniel Gafford, same thing. Derek Lively as a rookie, been phenomenal. And then P.J. Washington, for him to get them over top in 2 separate games in that series with 29-point performance, 27-point performance, and showing that trade deadline move, definitely paid off. Now, I think there's a lot of people, though, that think that this is going to be a little bit too much for them. How much of a chance do you give the Mavs to go beat the Timberwolves in 7 games?
Well, I think you got matchup problems. Let's say you put, if you're the Timberwolves, you're going to put Anthony Edwards on Luka Doncic, right?
Right.
You better put McDaniels on Kyrie Irving, right?
Yep. Or so the other way around, becomes, I guess.
So the question becomes, who is Mike Conley going to guard? Is he going to guard McDaniels? Because if he guards McDaniels, I mean, not McDaniels, I'm sorry. Who is Mike Conley going to guard? McDaniels is going to be there. I'm thinking that's who is him.
Yep.
Who's Mike Conley going to guard for Dallas? Is it going to be Derek Jones? Is Jones going to be in there? Is it going to be,
right,
you know, one of the other add-on guys, P.J. Washington? Where do you put him? But the difference is, you've got to put him on somebody and just say, just keep him to the perimeter, close it out on the three. If it gets by you, we've got Rudy and we've got Kat back there.
Right.
McDaniels can sag down and help. So for Dallas, it's going to be figuring out how to maximize that matchup there. And for Dallas, it's got to be figuring out how to keep Minnesota off the offensive glass, because it's not just Kat and Rudy. McDaniels is super athletic. Edwards, super athletic. When they get secondary opportunities, that's going to be a problem. That Minnesota defense can be the real deal when they lock it in, without a doubt. So I don't write Dallas off, because I still think Luka is just scratching the surface of what he can do. And he's been here before. Minnesota guys, they've been there before. Some of the Minnesota guys have been there, but most of them haven't. Mike's been there. Obviously, Rudy Gobert's been in big playoff games with Utah. But they've got a little bit more of the veteran presence. They've taken some lumps. Dallas with Doncic has been there. Kyrie's obviously been there. First go-around for P.J. Washington. First go-around for Daniel Gafford. And Derek Lively, obviously, there. Derek Jones has been there. I don't know how much that plays in, but to me, it's going to be one or two games is going to shift this series.
Right.
So what's the determining factor? And when you can defend the way Minnesota defends, that seems to give them the edge to me. I don't want to just crown them that way. I'm pulling for Mike Conley, obviously, because of his ties here. Minnesota's played really well all year. Everybody's like, oh, they're the 3 seed. And they were not far from being the 1 seed. That thing came down to the last week with the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Wolves. They were all right there. And that's how tight the West is. So this will be fun to watch. I think tonight will be an interesting come-out game, because, let's be honest, Minnesota didn't exactly put their best foot forward in the first 2 games at home against Denver. What do they do tonight?
Yep, we will see. But, Eric, I appreciate you joining. Make sure you get some bandages on those knuckles.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.